Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. In some parts, it's buenos días. In otros parts, it's buenas tardes. Right now, it's Jorge Martín. And today, I'm joined by our very special invitado de lujo, our guest commentator when it comes to the NFL draft. You know, we're talking about round two. It's my buen amigo, the NFL draft loving, tape watching, dynasty nut, Jordan Bohin. ¿Cómo estamos, mi amigo?
Todo bien. What an introduction. I love it.
Every week we got to get better. Every week got to get better. No, this is awesome. So this is round two. So last time we did the QBs and that was just so, you know, what's funny. I listened to it for like the third time yesterday and I was just so much good knowledge. And it was actually helping me run through planting some plants. You know, planting tomatoes for the summer. So looking ahead, kind of both the quarterbacks looking ahead and the tomatoes looking ahead. So, but this time we're concentrating on the most important position to fantasy, los running backs, mi amigo. How you feeling about them?
You know, I was really excited for running backs this year because it's a position of need on my big dynasty league. And so I've really been really trying to get deep and try and understand where the value is, who the guys are that I really like. And I'm pretty excited about this year's running back crop. There's some great guys at the top, and I won't get into it now because I know we're going to get into all of it. But you know, then I think there's some potentially really exciting guys that can be had in those middle rounds. And I don't think that they're going to be on a lot of people's radars before listening to this podcast, but after, hopefully so.
Let's talk about the prospects themselves, and I think we both had a clear 101 when it comes to the running backs, kind of in Najee Harris. I mean, he's 6'1", 232, finished his career at Alabama with a brilliant senior season. It looks like he's on his own tier. I mean, you put on here total stud. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, Najee's been really effective in playing against some of the best defenses for maybe even 3 years now. Cause I think that he was spelling some of the guys back when we played them Clemson played them in the national championship with Deshaun back in Tampa. So he's been doing it for a long time. He's always really looked good. And in fact, I think there were times where I watched an Alabama game and it was him and Josh Jacobs. And I think there was times where I saw Najee run where I said, wow, why isn't that guy starting? Because he made Josh Jacobs kind of look, you know, pedestrian, which is funny because we know how well he's been doing. But Najee's just an absolutely incredible talent. I think he's the most can't miss prospect in the running back class. And that's why he's number one. But he does seemingly everything very well. And I think one of the things that will stick out to you when you watch the tape on him and when you look at what he brings to the table that maybe other backs don't is the pass catching ability.
Yeah.
He can not only bang it between the tackles and really make any kind of run, whether it's any kind of designed run, but his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and some of the things that he did. And I actually remember is when I was watching a Mac Jones play or tape that there was actually like a play. They had him run down the field, almost like he was going to run an angle route. And he ran and then hit the sideline and turned and stopped. And then once the defender gave up on him, he then started breaking across the middle of the field. Mac Jones hits him right in stride right around the seam. And then he goes in for an easy 20, 25, 30 yard score. So his ability to catch the ball from out of the backfield is awesome. And they can split him out wide. They can do a lot of different things. The other thing that really love about Najee is he just seems to make a ton of guys miss in the open field, whether it is a spin move or a quick stiff arm or the old shake and bake. He's the kind of guy that you feel you could dump the ball into space or into the flat. And he's going to pick up a first down or get those 10 yard gain out of it. I'd say more times than he actually goes down with the first defender.
Yeah, he really impressed me, and also just, I mean, very powerful runner. Just, I mean, he definitely made plenty of people miss, but he also just broke through some tackles himself, and just, he had an incredible offensive line with Alabama, because they always do, because they have first round picks and on that line all the time. But it really popped how powerful it was, and to me, the thing that really stuck out to me, and you mentioned it, that his receiving skills, just I mean, very very fluid in catching the ball and turning around to run, making a very seamless motion. It's funny, and I'd be remiss, because us both being Ram fans, one of my favorite highlights that I saw was that hurdle that he did against Notre Dame in the championship semifinal game. Totally reminded me of Todd Gurley, and I think in circa 2018, 2019, where he just totally hurdled a defender, kind of like he's the bigger back, kind of, they're both 6'1". So it just, it really reminded me of that, about that one. I really like that he's a decisive runner, that he really, that he finds the hole and he just breaks through it. And I know Graham mentioned that one of the things that he lacks, the home run speed. I remember the first time I ever heard of a running back talking about home run speed, it was Eric Dickerson. And he doesn't have that, but I mean, I think that's almost overplayed in the NFL, because I mean, very few guys have that. But I'll take a guy who's going to give me 5, 10, 15, 20 yard bursts, and still, and get taken down after 20 yards. I'll take that. I'll take that all day long. So, I like him. I like him. But,
And just to add on to that really quick, Derrick Henry didn't have breakaway speed either. One of the guy that I wrote down here is, I'll let you reveal your comparison, but for the guy I have written down is Le'Veon Bell, because Bell has never been a breakaway guy, but he was a number one total, like overall number one fantasy pick for years, because he was able to, he was very patient. He was able to pick up good yardage on runs on the ground, but then he was also a pass catching machine. And so I see Najee being able to do that extremely well. And I think that there's a chance at least he ends up in Pittsburgh, which would be, I think, extremely, extremely exciting from that standpoint. But yeah, I agree. He doesn't have the home run speed. And I also agree that it is a probably overvalued or over concerned thing in the NFL. If you're doing your job is to get the first downs and be able to score from 20, 30 yards out. That's, I think, makes you a lot more dangerous than being the guy who hits a 90 or 80 yard touchdown every once in a while. I don't know if we'll see many more Chris Johnson like backs like that anymore.
No, those guys are going to be playing receiver. They're getting put out wide and everything like that. I actually like your Le'Veon Bell comparison better than mine. I had Matt Forte. I actually think Forte was more of a pass catcher than him, but very similar, very, very, very big, kind of larger, taller build. I kind of borrowed that one from Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. And it was and actually they interviewed Matt Forte talking about Najee Harris. So very interesting to hear kind of like that talk and the comparison. And Forte really likes him a lot. I would be thrilled to see him go to Pittsburgh. I think they'd need to pick him at the end of the first round, because I don't think the Jets or the Falcons are going to let him get past that. They're both picking early in the second round. They're not, I don't think they're letting him get past that point. So that'd be fun to see him in Pittsburgh. That would be fun seeing him in Pittsburgh. Well, I know this next guy has a very special place in your heart. ETN, Travis Etienne, 5'10", 215. He's from your alma mater. I saw a lot that I liked. I know I'm preaching to the choir there. So vamonos, big guy.
You know that he has a special place in my heart, but I don't think you understand just how special of a place in my heart he has, because Travis Etienne, this is no bullshit. This is real. He is my favorite player to ever play at Clemson, and he has been ever since I first saw him freshman year. I can't remember the game. My memory's not that sharp today, but I remember one of the first games he played. They said they're going to give this true freshman some handoffs. I think it was maybe the Kelly Bryant year. And you just saw him explode. He was so fast. I remember saying out loud, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone run that fast in a football uniform with pads on. He just seemed to be way, way faster. I'm surprised he only ran a 4.440. Cause I feel like he maybe could have pushed for 4.3, but he has that breakaway speed. I think what's been really impressive as he's gone through his career is it's not just a speed game, but he actually has developed some really near elite balance, I would say, and isn't a guy that just goes down at first contact. He really knows how to lower his shoulder, lower center of gravity, and push through contact with in order to get out into space again. And once he does and he turns on the jets, it's, you know, good luck catching him. But the other thing that I've been really impressed with as he's gotten, and I think this is part of the reason he stayed too, was he's been used more and more and more as a pass catcher. And I think he's very, very dangerous. They would split him out wide. They would have him kind of run like quick slants and things like that. And I think that he's the kind of guy that if he goes to an offense where you can put him in space and they can really scheme for that, he's going to be an absolute monster, because once he gets that space and he has the ball in his hand, like I said, he knows he's got the speed, but he also does a really good job of following blocks and making sure that he's taking the right route. And I mean, you have the stats written right here. I mean, 22 plays of 40 plus yards, 12 plays of 50 plus yards. And this past year, almost 50 receptions. So he's very, very impressive. I really hope he doesn't end up on the Jets, but if I had to guess right now, I'd say there's no way Atlanta lets him get past that to that early second round spot. I think this is they've shown a little bit of an affinity for the Clemson and like the hometown, almost being it only a couple hours away. Grady Jarrett. They had Vic Beasley. They've taken some defensive backs. I would not be surprised to see Travis Etienne in a Falcons uniform next year.
I actually really like him, and I like him. I know you know, people have Harris on his own tier. I like him. I got him a lot closer to Harris. His feet are just magical. They're just so fast, and he has such a great change of direction. I was not surprised that he ran the 4.44 40. Incredible player. You mentioned Atlanta. I think that's my dream scenario for him, because he would be going to an offense that cannot key on him. And it would be with a veteran quarterback who has used a pass catching running back with success, Matt Ryan with Devonta Freeman, having, you know, during their Super Bowl season. To me, that's the dream scenario. He'll never see a stacked box, and you know, he'll only see, you know, players that he can, you know, coming out of the backfield as a pass catcher. He's only going to be seeing players that he can beat one-on-one, because of the fact that they're going to be following Julio Jones on one side, Calvin Ridley on the other side. And my other hope is that they take Kyle Pitts at number four, so to make it an even more dangerous offense. So, I'm
wow, that'd be fun.
Yeah, can you imagine how fun that would be? And to me, that almost would if there were that scenario for me, that would put Etienne as the number one running back on draft, you know, when it comes to draft time out of this class. I would pick him over Harris, even if Harris ended up in Pittsburgh, which is where we all hope for him. Just a beautiful, beautiful player. I can't. It's funny. And to me, the other thing, and it's one of my tried and true lines, the best ability is availability. Zero missed games in his career. So I can see why you love him. He's always going to answer the bell. And I'm, you know, fingers crossed that he ends up in Hotlanta. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times this man has or young man has just made a big play at the right time too. I think it was Ohio State, little dump off pass from Lawrence, and he just takes it to the house because we needed it, you know. And so he's got a lot of, you know, big game ability in him too. So hey, all you fans listening out there in the NFL, if Travis Etienne ends up on your team next year, you are going to be very, very happy. You can go ahead and buy the jersey on draft day.
Did you have a comp for him?
I don't. I can't think of a guy who has been who is kind of that strong and that fast. With that kind of big playmaking ability, I couldn't think of one in the NFL today, to be honest.
The only one I could think of, and I think because they shared a field at one point, was I saw him as like a quicker version of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So that was the one thing, just with the pass catching. I think he could be better than CEH, who I think is going to have a good season this year. But that was the only thing. Yeah, I couldn't see that. I mean, I know you put Swift in here, how we talked about him kind of similar that year. I can't stress enough. My hope and dream, Hotlanta for him. Well, staying in the ACC, we're going to Javonte Williams, 5'9 and 215 coming out of University of North Carolina. He's a guy who had the timeshare, very even with Etienne, on your board. Tell me what were the things that you liked about him most?
Yeah, I mean, Javonte brings a really nice skill set. He is not quite as fast. He's a hair fast slower than Etienne, and I think that he's kind of in that Najee realm where I didn't see him breaking off the 80-yard run and then running away from guys. People were catching him from behind, but he's very, very, very quick. What I liked about him is he has this ability to kind of take the handoff, make his jump cut behind the line of scrimmage, and then just kind of take off and showing some really good bursts through the hole and in attacking the defense. And there were a couple wow plays. Like, he had this play against Miami where he hurdled over a defender that was on the ground. And when he landed, he kept going and then just truck stick this defender, just absolutely leveled this guy. And then just kept going. And then with spin moves, it was, 20, 25, 30 yards later, they finally got him down, but he just showed so much grit on that run. And when you see someone actually level a defender, it happens so rarely, you have to at least say, okay, I need to kind of respect this guy's power game, because not everyone can do that, especially at a high level in the ACC. It's not like he ran over, an FCS player. And I'll add that Miami actually had a pretty good record last year. So it wasn't like the Miami of old, where they were kind of over the past few years, where they were just getting run over. But one of the things, and this might be putting him, setting him up for failure, but I kind of reminded me of the old style of running that I haven't seen very much these days. Like I said, that kind of like taking the handoff, a little bit of a jump cut or a little bit of a sidestep, and then kind of just straight up and down. And it kind of reminded me of LT. That might be too high a praise for a guy who hasn't done anything yet, but I just saw these flashes of early 2000s running backs who had that same similar style, and so that's kind of what I see in Javonte. But what about you? Because I know you had some other thoughts on him as well.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you showed me that run against Miami, because I mean, it was incredible. It was incredible. It showed everything that you talked about. I love his game. I love how compact he is, how powerful he is. I think you're right. You mentioned that his speed is just a tick below Etienne. And I think that's going to be the key differentiator between the two of them. A powerful runner. He led the college game with 47 broken tackles last year. And he also had 72 first down carries. So that was something that was really good. I liked the stiff arm that I saw out of him after watching Derrick Henry, you know, probably get an extra 500 yards off his stiff arm the last few years. I think is very impressive. I think he's a great, great talent. I love the fact that he shared the backfield with Michael Carter, who we'll talk about in a second, because I think that takes some of the wear and tear off of him, similar to like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, though it's worked out more for Chubb than Michel in the NFL. Great runner. I mean, I like him a lot. I want him in the right situation. I would, you mentioned you hope he doesn't end up in New York. I think if he goes to the Jets, it might be tough for him unless they keep investing in that offensive line. So fingers crossed there. But I think it's, just a great, great prospect. And again, I can't stress enough the fact that I love that he, saved some miles on the tires with sharing the load, because they were both over 1,000 yards rushers, just both incredible players. And I think you were talking about playing against great defenses. I remember seeing on the highlight, Miami was ranked number 10 when he just obliterated them in that game. So, a guy who is playing well against the better defenses, future NFL players, just a stud. I want to see him at the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you mentioned at the top of this review is, I have him separated by less than 0.1 from Etienne. Out of seven, there's less than 0.1 that separates him. The comp is very, very relevant. I think that what it comes down to is that Etienne has that breakaway speed, and he doesn't. And I think it comes down to just that one point. So if you are drafting for dynasty draft or redraft, be very happy with Javonte Williams as the third running back off the board. You should be pretty happy about that. And I think he'll have value in redraft leagues too. I think that he's the kind of guy that a coach will look to get involved. Kind of going back to our list from before, if he did end up in a San Francisco or a Miami, I think he's a guy that gets 10, 12 touches down the stretch. He'll probably start getting those 10, 12 touches and is someone that you're going to want to have rostered at the end of the year.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. I think Miami could be a good opportunity for him. Probably better than the Jets, even though you'd probably get more of a workload from the Jets, because I think it'll just have a better team around him. So we'll see. But you mentioned breakaway speed. The next guy has that in that skill set, Chuba Hubbard. 6 foot 210. He's got 4.48 speed in the 40. I think honestly, and Dane Brugler of The Athletic, he had him as his number 10 prospect, running back prospect in his beast, which is, y'all, if you haven't gotten The Athletic, that is worth the price of admission. But I think this guy actually got hurt by the 2020 season, because I think he would have been much higher pick after 2019, where he was a 2,000 yard rusher. But talk to me. Tell me, what do you think on him on this one?
Yeah, I mean, first off, definitely agree with that. I don't think that there is a back on that'll go into the draft this year who probably had their stock suffer more than Chuba did. Obviously, I mean, you go through 2,000 yards and over 20 touchdowns, like, only really hard to maintain that, and there's usually only one direction to go from there. But I think Joe is going to be a polarizing prospect, because I think that there's going to be folks who really, really love him and maybe take a flyer on him and hit, and I think there's going to be people who really, really don't like him. I think I'm more in the don't like him camp, and that's more to the credit of the people that we're going to talk about after this. But what I like about Chuba is I saw some really good in between the tackles running. I was very surprised where it seemed like he had nowhere to go. He seemed to find a hole and then end up, you know, 4 or 5 yard, getting a 4 or 5 yard gain out of it. I can't say that I saw that with a lot of prospects where they were kind of able to kind of make themselves small, squeeze through a hole and being able to get through. The other thing that I really liked about him was I think he was kind of on a bad team, especially in 2020. I don't think OSU was particularly strong, especially on the O-line. And I think that he had this ability to, when the play had developed and the line started to shift, let's say it was a run play to the left, he had the kind of peripheral vision and the ability to see that maybe that was just one backer on the backside, or maybe the backers had started to shift toward where the run was going, trying to crash that run, and he could cut that back and then pick up some really nice long runs. I think he did that really, really well, and I think that he did that better than most people in the class. That said, one of the other things I did not like, I saw him put the ball on the ground a lot. I watched a lot of tape on these backs, and I can't remember these guys putting the ball on the ground. I think I watched two tapes of Chuba back to back, and I think he put the ball on the ground twice in one and then once in the other. And just like guys punching it out, and maybe you got to give some credit to the defense, but obviously something you got to shore up in the NFL if you want to be a bell cow. And so those are my thoughts on Chuba. I think he has kind of all the tools. Maybe there's some recency bias in his 2020 season. And, you know, he did have a little bit of an ankle injury, I believe, at the end of the year that he ended up saying that's why he ended up pulling out. So who knows what that looks like going into next year. But I think he's got the toolkit. It's just he's going to be, I think, more so than the guys we already talked about. I think he's going to be way more dependent on having a really nice O-line in front of him to open up nice holes for him and be a little bit more dependent on the offense that he finds himself in.
Yeah, you can't. To me, the thing that popped with him was his speed, his pure speed, and just I think he's the only guy I put on the same level with Etienne as far as pure speed is concerned. He did. You did put in there, you know, he had 550 college carries, so he's had a lot of wear and tear. But I did really like that breakaway speed that he really popped whenever he got in the open field and he was gone. And, you know, once he got past the D line and he's one-on-one with the linebacker, or he just, you know, takes off, goes, you know, change of direction, goes away from the defenders. He was able to take off and be gone from the players. I think you're right about OSU not being a very good team this year, and I think that kind of hurt him. And honestly, in a normal year, normal healthy year, he's probably one of the Heisman Trophy candidates by the end of the season. I'm very curious where he ends up, because I think he could end up being a guy who contributes in the right scheme if they call the right plays. That's why if he ends up in San Francisco somehow, I think because of his down year, he could slip to the third round, and he ends up in San Francisco. I think that would be very intriguing to see that happen, because I think that would just be amazing to see, to be in that rotation. And I don't think he would have the occasional big games, but I don't think because he would break off a big run, but he would probably be a guy that, maybe isn't going to help you on a week to week basis, because maybe he's not going to get more than 8 to 10 touches during game. But yeah, I'm very intrigued by the landing spot. I think he's the one that's most landing spot dependent for me, as far as mm-hmm. how much I'm going to like him going into the 2021 season.
And before we did the last episode on quarterbacks, we talked a little bit about the dynasty league you joined, and this could be a guy that maybe has that slide in that fall, and he's certainly got talent. So maybe he's a guy you can get in the early third, middle of the third, sort of like Antonio, where Antonio Gibson went last year. If people look at last year and say, hey, you know, not for me, rather go after some of the tight end prospects, some of the wide receiver prospects. And I could see him being that guy that slides. I could also see him being a guy that somebody says, this guy had 2,000 yards, I'm going to take him in the top of the second. So, well, we'll see.
So the next guy is another guy in a different OSU, Trey Sermon from The Ohio State University, 6'2", 215. He really helped himself there at the end. You know, we talk so much about recency bias in fantasy football. I think it also comes to play in the NFL draft. If you do well at the most important time of the season, 331 yards against Northwestern, 193 against Clemson, sorry about that one. I tried to downplay that one. the thing with him, I think he's a guy, and I know Graham Barfield also really liked him in the right system. What are your likes, dislikes? I know for me, one of the question marks, he got injured in the national championship game. Shoulders can be something that linger. So that to me is something that I want to keep an eye on, once he gets into camp and we start hearing about that. But talk to me about him, because I think you've got some interesting notes on him.
Yeah, I think Trey just stands out in a room because of the way that he ran in those games. And it was not only was he effective in putting up big numbers, but he kind of looked like he was, playing with high schoolers or something. He was jumping over guys, and he's not a small guy by any means, but he was jumping over guys. He was using the stiff arm and finishing runs with just pure aggression, which was not something that you see from really anyone else in the class now that we're talking about it. And it's something that I think is super exciting from an NFL perspective, or if you're a personnel executive at an NFL team, you got to be really excited about the way that he runs the ball and the ability that he has at his size. You know, normally when you think of a guy who can shed tackles and stiff arm and basically do all the things that like Derrick Henry does, you don't think of a guy who is fleet of foot. You think maybe he's a little bit of a plotter or something like that. This guy's got burst. I mean, if he played in that national title game and he played well, he might be right up there as far, maybe it's hype, maybe it's warranted, but he might be right up there with the Najee Harris's and Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams of the world. But he did get hurt, and that kind of pulled his stock back a little bit. Bottom line for me personally is he's probably going to be maybe he's going to be the fourth running back off the board. I'd say he's probably, in most dynasties, he's going to be fourth, fifth, sixth. But I think his upside, if he stays healthy and he can tap into that, because he wasn't like that all season. He kind of came on late, as you mentioned. He was kind of sitting behind Master Teague for a little bit there too. And if he can do that in the NFL, I think he's potentially, right up there with Najee. If maybe not even being the guy that we look back on and say, wow, we kind of missed out on him. And I got to say, watching the tape, I've already got him rated out at number 3 overall. He's already like the numbers are kind of speaking for themselves on that. And I think he deserves to be up there in that tier. And again, if I'm sitting there in middle of the second round of my dynasty draft, or even the fourth, fifth pick, I am thrilled to get a guy like Trey Sermon on my team at that point in the draft. And I think there's a pretty good chance that he's going to be there.
I think he's a guy who is going to get drafted there in the NFL draft, but kind of in that same area where, mentioned Chuba Hubbard, maybe the second, third round. And I think he's going to be a bargain for somebody. I really do. I mean, just a very, smooth and powerful. I want you to give your comp that you put in, because I don't want to take credit for it, because I love it.
He's beast mode. He's beast mode 2.0.
Give me some Skittles.
I'm going to call him the preacher, though. I don't know.
I love it. I love it. I'm throwing some Skittles at you all the way to Barcelona, mi amigo. I agree. I love his running style. Powerful. There's a little bit of smoothness to it. I love to see him. I would have liked to have seen a little more work in the passing game, but I think ideally that'll come. I think it's going to have to come. Because really everybody but Derrick Henry ends up having to catch passes in the NFL. But I'd love to see him land on one of the teams that we talked about above and to be a guy, who's got a real shot at maybe he starts out in a committee, but really has a shot to start to shine. I love guys who play big in big games. And so who come up big, I mean, who are clutch players and doing that in the Big Ten championship and then the, national football semifinal, I think it's good. I mean, I really do look at him. Oh, and I like the note you put in about his goal line work. And so I think he's a guy who could be, because of his big, larger frame, I think he's somebody who can really do some damage down there. I think, and the other thing, he doesn't put the ball on the ground. So, you talked about it with the last guy, zero fumble. He has zero fumbles since 2018. So that is huge. That is huge. You want that kind of ball security. It's so important in the NFL. I forget who it was. I think it might've been Bill Parcells who was saying, it's like, treat the football like your baby. You never want to give up your baby. So yeah. You never want to do that. I really want to see this guy end up number one, healthy and in the right kind of situation.
Yeah. I love that note, by the way. I mean, there's some players that you just want to see healthy because they're so fun to watch. And Trey in those last few games was unbelievable and really stood out. So I'm hoping that he is fully recovered and can come into that NFL training camp, ready to show what he's got.
Oh man. Well, another guy who's ready to show what he's got, kind of a bowling ball kind of build, 5'8", 201, Michael Carter out of UNC. We talked about Javonte Williams, kind of how they shared the load and how they saved some carries and maybe some wear and tear that the NFL gets to take advantage of. You put in here, good talent, though he was in Williams' shadow. Where did you see that that he was in the shadow?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously Javonte was kind of the guy, and I imagine he got most of the goal line work. I got to say, really love, I'm getting a little excited because both Trey and Michael are on the same page of our Google Doc. And I got to say, those are two guys, two of my favorites in this draft class, and kind of goes back to what we're saying at the top where it's like, you watch some of these guys and even though they're not clearly in that top three, they're very, very exciting prospects. And my favorite thing about Michael Carter is actually there's two things. There might be three. Okay, but I'll start with the first one. He's so patient. He is so incredibly patient. And he almost is like toying with his defenders sometimes where like he's running out in along the perimeter. And most guys are just running full speed and just trying to pick up as many yards as they can and just running straight at these guys. And he's almost just like kind of saying like, come and get me, dude, come and get me. And then when they try, he's shaking them off or he's already cut behind another blocker that he's already identified before he makes the, before he started engaging that defender. And it's just so impressive because I think it's one of the most underappreciated skills when it comes to being a good NFL running back is you could be the fastest guy in the world. If you're running into the back of your line, if you're not letting blocks develop, if you don't know once you get into the open or the second or the third level of the defense, if you don't know how to read your blocks and take a path that is ultimately going to have at least one guy on your team between you and the defender, you're not going to be a superstar in the NFL. And Michael Carter seems to have that ability and have that eye for where to go and how to be patient. And this gets into my second thing I really like about him is he's very compact. At 5'8", 201, He's not a very big guy. Once he gets into an NFL training program, I love to see him kind of get in the 220 range. But he's also going to be that guy that's super hard to see behind a bunch of 6'5", 6'6" linemen, where he can just kind of take that handoff, be really sneaky, hard to find, and then he's bursting through the hole. And there's been tons of guys who have made a really nice career out of doing that. It's been very frustrating for defenses because as a backer, you can't see over the action on the line. And then all of a sudden there's a back bursting out of this hole that you never saw, and you're already two steps behind. And it's really, really hard to catch up at that point.
And you know, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to point out like his cutting ability, where he was able to, you know, he'd make cuts and make a guy miss. And then, but to me, the thing that was impressive, he maintained his speed. And he was able to, you know, it was like he made a cut, but he didn't, you know, he was still in his top gear, which was very impressive to me. But I'm sorry, I jumped in on your thought there.
No, it's all good. And the last thing is his balance. He just seems to be, because he has that low center of gravity. It's something you hear a lot with, I think, guys like, you know, Alvin Kamara, for example, where you hit him and you guys just kind of bounce off, and he's able to kind of take that hit and let his momentum carry him out. But then, as you kind of mentioned, he's not going to the ground, and he's able, even sometimes being able to maintain his speed, which is super important. So I'm really high on Michael Carter. He's obviously going to be the second guy picked out of UNC at his own backfield. Like you mentioned, there's been some examples of this in the past. The one that always comes to mind too is Kamara and Jalen Hurd. And only one of them has had a career so far, but out of Tennessee, but I think he's going to be very, very productive in the NFL. If he gets drafted to a team where, I don't think he's ever going to be a bell cow back, but if he can be an effective guy in a timeshare with some third down pass catching opportunity, which he has the right skill set for, I think he's going to be a very productive back in the NFL and on fantasy teams for the next decade.
Yeah, I'd love to see him get into a situation kind of like in the Kamara Eckler role, just to be able to, you know, be that guy who, you know, gets, you know, maybe doesn't get 250 carries, but gets like 175, but then gets 100 targets, and gets that. I loved your comp on him too. So I want to give you the floor on the comp.
Yeah. He reminds me of MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew. He's got a little lighter. And like I said, I would love to see him get up to that MJD weight at around 220, 230. But he's got that very, very small stature and that ability to make big plays. I can't remember, or I can't tell you how many times growing up, I remember watching, CBS back in the Northeast, and there'd be Patriots games on, and it'd be, you know, against Jacksonville, and just seeing this little wrecking ball, you know, it was all the only weapon on the team, it seemed like at times, but he would still be a fantasy stud for them. So.
I love that comp. I love that comp. And you talked about the big plays. He had 23 plays of 20 plus yards last year. I mean, Harris had two. Najee Harris had two. So I love the big playability with this guy. I think he's I want to see him get into that situation where maybe he's like a 1A to somebody's, you know, 1A, 1B kind of situation where two guys are getting a lot of play. You mentioned Philly. That would be a good situation. I think that could be a fun situation for him. Could be a really fun situation. All right. Well, this next guy, very interesting guy, Kenneth Gainwell, one of the smaller guys, 5'8", 201, according to The Athletic, out of Memphis. I mean, gosh, we've seen these guys, you know, be early round picks. Antonio Gibson last year, Daryl Henderson the year before. He was a high school quarterback. There's a lot to like about him, but there's some people who are kind of, you know, there are also some question marks. What are some of your feelings?
Yeah, first off, I think he's got the best name in the class. I mean, it's just so appropriate.
See.
And I think I can see the announcers having a lot of fun with this one. A lot of corny jokes and dad jokes coming down the pipe in the NFL. But I think, you know, he showed some nice burst and balance. You know, he doesn't really seem to go down on first contact. I think that for me, what I get nervous about this is a little bit kind of going back to our recency bias, but from the sense of position X at school A equal success. And I think that him and Antonio Gibson are different players. I think that Kenneth is, he was split out wide. He did some pass catching things, but I felt what he was asked to do versus what Antonio Gibson was asked to do. And what I saw Antonio Gibson do while at Memphis were quite different. When I watched the tape on Kenneth, I didn't see a lot of deep pass plays. I saw a lot of, you know, that kind of Swiss Army knife of, you know, running out of the wildcat, splitting out wide, taking the handoff from the quarterback and doing a lot of different things and doing them well. But I did not see like the Antonio Gibson, 40-yard bomb down the right sideline on top of all those other things. So I would like to see Gainwell be maybe a little bit more consistent with as well is his open field ability and lateral quickness. He's kind of, I mentioned before, he's kind of what I was talking about with Michael Carter before. I saw some plays where he seems to just, you know, get on rails and just, you know, he found his hole. He's following the direction of the run. And then it's just lower the head, protect the ball and just boom, 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 boom. I'm just going to run everyone over until I'm on the ground, which is fine. I'm happy with that as an NFL talent evaluator, as a coach. I want my guys to fight for the yards and things like that. But again, what I think makes Michael Carter special is that patience and ability to follow blocks. And so I'd like to see Kent Gainwell maybe just sit back a little bit more and let the blocks develop and then turn the Jets on, because he's definitely got the speed to make a lot of big plays in an NFL offense.
Yeah, I looked at it. I like his overall skill set, but I think, you know, spot on. I mean, Carter had that little extra that you want to see that maybe will make him go before Gainwell. I look at him. I mean, I really liked what I saw. The interest. I'm going to be very interested in what he looks like showing up to camp. Because I saw a very powerful runner, very strong legs, very thick legs. I want to see, you know, kind of that man growth, because he didn't play in 2020. He opted out because of COVID for very obvious reasons. He had four family members who died from the coronavirus. So, yeah. You got to take care of you, take care of your family. But I look at him, I want to see that skill set, that overall skill set, the running and the pass catching. I want to see him get into a situation where he can maybe be that threat out of the backfield, to catch some passes, try maybe if he could catch, you know, 40 to 50 balls as a rookie, that would be very intriguing to see what he would do with however much he gets on the ground. Again, he's another guy who's so dependent on where he ends up, but I mean, he has that talent, but again, I want to see what kind of growth happened during that year that he opted out from the season. So it's going to be another guy who's coming out of that Memphis program. I don't know what they got in the water over there, but it's, keep sending us running backs. We love to see Memphis running backs come in the NFL. So, we'll do that. The next guy is an interesting weapon type of guy. Javian Hawkins coming out of Louisville, smaller guy, 5'8", 183 pounds. He's got that 4.4 speed. What are your feelings on him?
Yeah. You know, the size is a little bit of a concern, right? Yeah. I mean, not a guy who's going to go and have bell cow ability in the NFL. He's going to be a guy that's going to be kind of that change of pace or even a pass catcher. He, and I know we talked about this before the show, like he's very, you watch him on film and you look at the way that he's built, he's very skinny. He's like, his legs are very skinny. He's like walking around on stilts out there, but he is incredibly quick. And I think he's one of the few guys that if you like speed and you like guys that can take it to the house, he's that kind of guy who can take it to the house in any play. And I made this, when we were talking before about teams, I mentioned him, the potential for him in San Francisco, and that was accidental. But now that we're back on him as a subject, that would be the perfect place for him to go, a place where he can, he wouldn't be asked necessarily to do a lot of work between the tackles and kind of in that those A gaps and B gaps, but a place where they might be able to get those outside runs going, and have some success there, where he can really take advantage of his speed, and where and potentially even where a guy can get split out to the on the sides, and they can pair him up with Debo Samuel, or they can pair him up with Ayuk and create some rub plays where then one of them gets open and now has a lot of space. I think he could be really good. And I mentioned this last year about DeAndre Swift, and I feel the same way about Hawkins, is he's really that slasher. He's best when he's attacking the perimeter. And I think that's where he's going to sit in the NFL because of his size, because he's not going to be a guy that's going to be able to shed off, 320-pound D linemen, or be able to shed through some of these linebackers that they're going to be chasing him in like a 3-4 or whatnot. So I think he's a solid prospect. I don't think he's the most exciting prospect. I think some of the guys, I take him after the guys that we mentioned before, but bottom line is he's this old school kind of speed style back that can take you to the house. And if he can find himself in the right scheme, or if he can develop a little bit more patience or get to a point where maybe he's able to avoid contact a little bit more, he can be a solid back, and he can be someone that produces. I wouldn't draft him in redraft. I draft him in dynasty as a stash, but I don't think he's going to have value in redraft, at least not right out of the gate.
Yeah, right out of the, I could see spending some fab money on him after seeing him have, have a gamer, kind of, you look at his touches, because I don't know if he is going to get a lot of work coming out of the gate. That to me, you mentioned the running on stilts. Yeah, that was really striking, because I saw him right after I saw Kenneth Gainwell tape, and Gainwell just, really thick thighs, and Hawkins just wasn't that guy. I think he will get typecast as that third down back, the pass catching back, someone who's not going to be asked to do a lot of pass protection. So he's going to be a guy who's going to get, come in and get some catches, but he does have that home run speed. He had three runs of 70 plus yards last year. So, I think initially where he's going to get a lot of work is as a pass catcher. And I will say, I can't close without saying I think he's got my favorite nickname of all the players, PlayStation. So, I think he's a fun player, but I'm good. Again, another one, I hate to say it, I feel like I'm saying it so much, but he's going to be most interesting based on where he ends up. I don't want to see him get lost somewhere, but I think he has that kind of speed that somebody hopefully will put some good use to him.
Yeah. And just, and quickly on that note, I'll add that Louisville was pretty bad last year. And so I saw, maybe he will actually be better in some of the inside runs and is better at picking his way through some of that traffic than I give him credit for, because the line and the production of the whole team was so bad. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. And it's quick though, if you guys are listening and you guys want to see something that's kind of befuddling, there was one of the tapes I watched was Javion Hawkins. There's 20 seconds left going into halftime, and it's like second and like 22, and they hand it off and just do like a draw play, that was one of those 70 yard runs. Literally, it was like a 75 yard run before half to like in a close game too. It wasn't like they were getting blown out or anything. And he just took it all the way down the field. I was like, how the heck do you let that happen?
That play was amazing. I just, my jaw dropped on that one. That one was a lot of, oh God. So true. So true. Adios mio. Well, the last guy we're going to do a big breakdown on is probably the biggest guy on this, in this group, Ramondre Stevenson, 5'11", 231. You really liked him. After I looked at some tape on him, and I started following your footsteps. So I'm gonna start us up on this guy.
Yeah, I'm grinning from ear to ear because I'm so excited to talk to some Ramondre Stevenson. He is one of, if not my favorite, kind of value pick when it comes to probably in Dynasty right now, and in this class. You know, he never had the starting role at OU. He was a JUCO transfer in 2019. So he played last year, this past 2020 and 2019, he was in a timeshare. So he never had the starting role, but he had over 7 yards per attempt. He is not a fast guy. I think he ran a 4.6 40 at his pro day. That is not good. But it's, as we mentioned before earlier in the show, it's not about necessarily about how fast you can run 40 yards, but it's how fast can you run 10 and 20 yards. And he actually does have some solid burst. And I think that there's been some kind of fluctuation in, you know, his size. He's been in really good shape. He's been in not so good shape at times, but something I found really interesting too, is that he's been coached by DeMarco Murray at OU, yes, who was his favorite player growing up because they're both from Las Vegas. And he was a big Dallas Cowboys fan too. But so I think that's point being, he's that guy who might have always had the talent, but never really had the opportunity. And maybe it's because people see him and say, oh, he's not that fast. We've got faster guys. But I loved his patience. As you can't tell by now, I really value patience when I do my rankings and do my models. He was very patient especially for a guy for his size. If you're smaller, I could understand just kind of some natural, like, stay between linemen, please stay between me and these other huge guys trying to kill me. But he's a big guy. He's 230 pounds and he doesn't necessarily have to be patient, but he was very patient on his runs. And what it allows him to do is not only, you know, continue the play, but it allows him to set up the burst runs, the stuff where he plants the foot in the ground and goes straight up the middle and it's 10 yards down the field and you know, lunging and getting those first downs, or a situation where if you're kind of on an outside run and that backer comes up to you kind of get on that one-on-one situation, they might start to cheat inside a little bit, thinking that you're going to then do that, plant your foot and cut up. But instead, what you can do is you can break it out to the outside, and he's beating guys to the pylon in the red zone, even though he's only running at 4.6. So I think he is the complete package at running back. He has incredible balance. There's this play that I linked in the show notes, and he's kind of like in huge amount of traffic right along the sideline. And he's got the quick feet to be sidestepping this, that ends up taking it another 20 yards for a touchdown. It's truly amazing for a guy his size to be able to do that. I think it's super rare. And my comparison for him, I know you have, I'll let you get to yours in a second, but I couldn't help it. And I'll admit it's probably because of the dreads that he has and everything. I saw Steven Jackson in him and I love me some Steven Jackson.
I totally saw that one, you know, kind of like the big running back, big frame. I went a little bit further back, showing my age a little bit, and partly because they're both from Oklahoma, Marcus Dupree. And the funny thing was, I had that thought, just because the taller build and in the uniform, and then in the film I was watching, like right after that, like probably about 10 seconds after I had that thought, the announcer said, oh, it's shades of Marcus Dupree from back in the 80s. So kind of the bigger running back, kind of the, you know, not doesn't have that Eric Dickerson speed, but definitely still has, you know, power and, you know, I really power and great vision and great. And he also has great patience, definitely found the holes very well. And I really started to like him the more I watched of him. And I think, and he's another guy, I think he's someone that can really, I'm going to want to grab him in Dynasty. And then I would expect that by the second half of the season, he's going to be a guy that's going to be popping in the NFL. I'm really, and the other thing that they pointed out, he had 2 years. He played his junior college ball over here at Cerritos College down here in SoCal. But at Oklahoma, he had less than 200 total touches. So I think he could be a guy who's a complete back who gets, who's got a lot of tread left on the tire. I think he's a very, very intriguing player. I want to see him get into a good situation because I think he could be a guy that, I mean, he's projected third, you know, kind of like somewhere in the 2 to 4 round range. I think he could end up being a bargain for somebody on this one. And hopefully I'm not the only one among the announcers who does a Marcus Dupree. anybody listening out there, go look at Marcus Dupree tape, and you'll see the comp going on there.
Yeah, and just a couple quick notes to add on him too. We talked earlier about some guys who will get goal line work. I could see Stevenson getting goal line work at the right offense from day one. This is one guy that I'm kind of picking irregardless of where he ends up. But I think that even if there's somebody ahead of him, I think that there's, you know, if it is like, for example, who are we talking about? You mentioned Buffalo earlier, right? Like, well, not super impressed with Devin Singletary. Zach Moss was pretty good, but you know, as far as the size, I'm going to give the ball probably to Ramondre Stevenson over Devin Singletary. I know. So there's going to be some situations like that around the NFL where I'm probably going to pick, even though if I have a strong back already, who's already being very productive, I bet Ramondre Steve, I bet he's not 230 pounds and is not going to have the same patience and ability to run people over. I also agree that he had a failed drug test. So he probably is going to drift down boards a little bit of like that classic character red flag. But I think that, honestly, I think that stuff's overblown, especially in today's society where, you know, somebody might have gotten failed for a drug test for marijuana at this point. And, you know, what is it, legal in 20 states at this point? So,
yeah,
it's hard for me to knock guys for that stuff anymore. And then, I think he's, I guess you could say he's a poor man's Trey Sermon. So I think he's doesn't get talked about. I would be surprised if anyone listening had already targeted him or had him on draft boards, but I'll tell you right now, he's probably in my top five backs right now. And a guy that I'm going to be super pumped to try and pick up in that like late second or third round of a dynasty draft.
I'd love to see him get into the, you know, one of those roles, kind of like that, the Thunder in the Thunder and Lightning role. So I'd love to see him be that guy. I mean, it could be, in Green Bay, they could have that with AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones next year. So I could see Stevenson kind of being that bowling ball kind of guy. So love it. All right. So we got two quick hits on guys, and then we're going to get out of here. Let's stay close to where I am. Dimitri Felton at UCLA. Talk to me. Dígame.
Yeah, just some quick notes for you guys doing your dynasty drafts. Dimitri Felton plays at UCLA. He was a converted wide receiver who ended up playing running back for the past year and a half at UCLA. He didn't run quite as fast as I thought he would at his pro day, given he was a wide receiver. But I think he's the kind of guy that could end up being valuable from a third down role. If he ends up on the right team, he could be a steal that you could maybe get in late third or fourth round of your dynasty draft. And then as the La Familia either knows already or will know, I like to go pretty deep with these. And so there was a young man named Asim Rose out of Kentucky at 6'1", 215. I'm sure he's kind of want to get to be one of those dart throw guys, fourth, fifth round of your dynasty draft. But he ran, he had some really great measurables at his pro day, which is part of the reason I kind of looked at the tape. He ran a 4.5, 3.40. He's very, very strong. I think he had over 20, 25 bench reps, which is pretty insane for a running back. And that strength shows up on tapes. He finishes the runs really well. Like those pylon runs, or when he kind of gets kind of stacked up, he's got a strong stiff arm, and you can see that he can really push through and push through contact in a really impressive way. And I think the knock on him will be that he looks kind of slow on tape, but then you kind of look at the 40 time and it's, yeah, you know, it's clear that he can run a low mid 4.5, which is pretty darn good. And then the last thing is he doesn't cut particularly hard. I didn't see a lot of jump cuts or anything like that. He's kind of like one of those guys I mentioned. We were talking about Gainwell, who maybe kind of is a little bit more linear in his the path that he takes, but he does somehow manage to find a way to like swim through traffic. The guy almost like where he won't make a really big cut, but he'll just do just enough of a stutter step to where he can then, you know, kind of put his arm around the defender and push him away and then keep running up the field. And I could see him being a Alfred Morris kind of back where he gets maybe in the real NFL draft, he gets taken in the fifth round. And if he ends up in a zone running scheme or something like that, he might be a 1,000-yard rusher as a rookie. Cause I just think if he ends up in Washington or something like that, I could see it being productive. So that's it. Those are my late round dart throws for you guys.
Asim Rose, he was really impressive to me on tape, and I'm really hoping that he slips and gets in a good opportunity. Fingers crossed. Oh, Jordan, gracias, mi amigo. Gracias. And everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out in the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe, leave us a review at wherever you get your podcasts, and you can find original content at familiaffb.com. And don't forget Twitter and Instagram at familiaffb. You got me at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter. Jordan, where we got you?
At Jordan B. Trades on Twitter.
And we're gonna get him to tweet some more because this knowledge is sweet. So sweet. Oh, caliente. And don't forget our Familia FFP. Oh, siempre, mi amigo. And don't forget our Familia FFP Facebook page. Gracias otra vez to Jordan. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia.